Galatians chapter 5. We want to read verse 9. And our subject today is the yeast principle. The yeast principle from Galatians 5 and verse 9. Now, almost all of you know this particular axiom that the Apostle Paul used twice in his writings. And so, it's nothing unfamiliar to you, but it does us good to remind ourselves again of what the Bible says here concerning this yeast principle. Galatians 5 and verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is a very short verse, but we find that it tells a great story. Leaven is an old world word for yeast, and people that make bread and want it to rise, they put yeast in the dough and set it over aside for a little while, and when they set it over there and let it do its thing, it'll rise, and that's where those fluffy loaves of bread come from. This scripture uses the principle of yeast spreading throughout the rising bread to make a point about a great principle, a spiritual principle that we as God's people need to be aware of. Now, we see this principle everywhere in the world. The principle works itself out, reveals itself in just a whole lot of things that occur in the world. And here are some general examples that some of you will be familiar with. First of all, I realize and remember that somewhere in Kentucky Lake, maybe in the mid-50s, there was probably some barge or tugboat that dropped a small cutting from what's called Eurasian milfoil into the lake as it was probably passing through from somewhere in the Tennessee River system. And by the early 60s, this Eurasian milfoil, and bass fishermen love milfoil, by the way, but some of the things it does aren't so good. But by the mid-60s, you begin to see milfoil all around different places in Kentucky Lake. And by the late 60s, it became such a scourge in the lake that it was in almost every cove that you boated up into in Kentucky Lake. And there was more than 4,000 acres of milfoil in Kentucky Lake by then, and it died back. We don't know if Kentucky Fish and Wildlife took it in hand to kill some of it or what, but it died back to a fairly small amount in the years from the late 60s, early 70s on forward. But what we saw in this milfoil spreading from perhaps one little sprig coming upstream or downstream on a tugboat is the principle that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There's something else that happened up north a few years back. Somewhere in Lake St. Clair near Detroit, Michigan, during the 1970s or 1980s, there was a ship that came through that channel of water from some site probably near Russia or near the Netherlands or somewhere around Great Britain. And on the side of that ship, there were a couple of very small animals. They were like somewhere between a fourth of an inch and a half in diameter. And they were called zebra mussels. And they dropped off in that channel. And it wasn't but just a few years later that they began to spread all over the Great Lakes system. And by 2008, zebra mussels had infested the entire Great Lakes region, the St. Lawrence River, the Ohio River, the Cumberland, Missouri, Tennessee, Colorado, and Arkansas rivers, and were causing millions of dollars in damage to inflow and outflow devices and sticking to boats everywhere and just causing general havoc. Now, the history of this little troublemaker is such that he's been designated an invasive species. And this history tells us that this little zebra mussel will finally fill every river in America. A little leaven, two zebra mussels perhaps, maybe just one that was carrying eggs. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, there's something else that goes on a daily and a weekly basis over in Africa that illustrates this fact that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Somewhere last night in the sub-Saharan region of Africa, that's down below the Sahara region, a little boy was bit by a little bitty mosquito, and that little bitty mosquito infected that little boy with a malaria parasite. Now in the next few weeks, that malaria parasite will propagate in that little boy and will spread throughout his body and begin to kill millions of red blood cells. And if he doesn't get treatment, it won't be but just a little while till that little boy will die because his red blood cells have been totally destroyed. And it all began with one little mosquito and perhaps just a little bitty handful of Plasmodium malaria parasites. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There's another one that's very biblical that illustrates this so well. All of us are personally affected by, impacted by this one. About 6,000 years ago, more or less, sin was introduced into the world in two people, in Adam and Eve. Today, approximately 6,858,000,000 people transgress some commandment of God every day. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I want to show you that now in a physical demonstration, what I'm talking about. We're talking about how that just the smallest of something can totally change the aspect of something else that's much bigger. All of you are familiar with the food color, and you probably color your bird feeder feed for those little hummingbirds with it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. One, two, three drops. Notice what happens to that water. Three drops in 8 or 9 ounces of water. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is the subject of our message today, and it's a serious one because if we take this principle to heart, we have to realize that things that happen in our lives, things that we do in our lives, things that come into our lives, and things that we're imprinted by or we're affected by or we see or hear or think may act like that leaven of which just a little leavens the whole lump. Now I want us to first of all see the principle at work in Israel 4,000 years ago when they're in Egypt and when they're brought out with a high hand by the Lord Himself. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. I want to illustrate by something they did, this principle of a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Here are the children of Israel lately coming out of Egypt. They are brought out with a high hand by the power of God. They couldn't have seen a more clear demonstration from God about how it is that God has power and how He can use that power in behalf of His people. But here in the 16th chapter of Exodus, beginning in verse 1, they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." What do you see there in what the children of Israel have done? I think you see that they are reflecting what they saw in the Egyptian citizens while they were in Egypt. What they saw was a culture of people that were thankless toward the great God Jehovah of heaven. These people worshipped idols. They had plenty. There was everything that you could possibly want in that level of civilization available for them in Egypt. Yet those Egyptians were thankless and used those many resources and enjoyed them. Those resources were what God gave them. And I believe the Israelites adopted the kind of thing that I want to call a sense of being mistreated, an entitlement complex. They adopted it from what they learned in Egypt. And so when they got out in the wilderness, they murmured against the man of God and said, I wish we'd have just died in Egypt. At least we had a lot of meat to eat, and we had a lot of good vegetables to eat, and it was more comfortable there. They'd already forgotten that they were slaves and abused there. What happened to the children of Israel that brought them to this place? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Flip over now, if you will, to the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus 32. And let's read of another debacle that the children of Israel acted out. And I believe that it will show us a like illustration. In Exodus chapter 32, reading verses 1 through 4, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Moses, and Aaron, and he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. What do we see here, brothers and sisters? We see an illustration of the fact that Israel adopted the idolatry of Egypt, and it became the leaven by which the Israelites were saturated. Saturated to the full, from which they got the idea about the golden calves to be bowed down to and worshiped. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You see how it happened to them. Nothing new here. Nothing new in any culture. These children of Israel were not singularly wicked. They were just humans. But a little leaven leavened the whole lump and cost them much in the favor of God. Now, with that in mind, let's see the principle at work in this modern age. Let's see how it happens. And we're just going to quote you facts about the modern age. Let me say, first of all, that it's the profanity of the world and the flaky nature of our old man that is in every one of us that is the leaven that saturates our lives and alters our behavior negatively. Let me say it again. It's the profanity of the world and our own flaky nature that causes leaven of the world to be able to saturate our lives and create things that ought not to be there. Here are some examples. This is one all of you will recognize because you grew up with this adage. There's an adage around that says, honesty is the best policy. And you might think of that a minute and say, that's a good saying. That's a great saying. Let me suggest to you as a child of God that if you really think down past the leaven that is in you, perhaps, you'll realize that that's not the best adage about honesty. The best adage is, honesty is the only policy. You see how far we've come? You see how we've descended to accepting honesty as the best policy? And omitting that honesty, in fact, is the only policy for a child of God to use. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Here's another one. Sensual dressing among our peers out there in public, people our age, people, our lifestyle, has leavened our thinking so that we as professing Christians have begun to mimic them. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We ought to realize that it's not the dress of the world that sets the standard for God's people. But a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And if you follow after the world's tradition, the world's pattern, what is in vogue in the world, then you'll be leavened, saturated with the idea that your dress has to meet a code set by the world. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. God's called us to modesty, and we ought to practice that in our lives in every way, in our dress, in what we do. Here's another one. The absolute lack of business ethics among businessmen in America as a group has so saturated our culture that it has leavened our thinking to the place where very many Christians today begin to imagine that it's okay to practice unethical business standards if they're just little white things and not big black things. If they're just little cheatings here or little devious schemes there. If they're just subterfuge here or just a small deception to our buying public there. We think it's okay. What's wrong with that view? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's what's wrong with the view. We as God's people ought to be ethical, honest and above board in our business regardless of what it costs us out there in the business world. Because I want to tell you something. If we conduct business with bad ethics, the Lord will make sure that He takes care of any profit that we might make. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Here's another one where the principle rings true. This obsession that Americans have today for the good life, for gaining and using possessions, for enjoying them and making that their entire focus of life and focus of pastime, has so leavened the viewpoint of some of God's people that they imagine that keeping up with the Joneses is everything that's important. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The life of God consists not in the things which we have, brothers and sisters. That's the opposite of the leaven that has leavened our thinking so that we imagine that if our neighbor down the road has a new car, we got to have a new car. If there's something out there to be had that's a new item that we can get and enjoy and float in the lap of luxury, we start figuring out how we can get it. That thing ought to be avoided because, in fact, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and the world at large that is without Christ, those are the things that the Gentiles seek after. But not us. Not us. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Here's another one. People of the world and even other church members treat the Lord's Day very often like it's just another work day or another recreation day. And by doing that, they've leavened some Christian thinking so that some of God's people have become profane about their use of the Lord's Day. I meet people every day that have just literally profaned the Lord's Day, and I know Christians or professed Christians that don't think anything of laying out of church. If there's something that comes up that's interesting, that's recreational, they'll skip church. They won't honor the Lord at all on the Lord's Day. What's happened? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's exactly what's happened. Now, our neighbors down the road that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to honor the Lord's Day. We ought not to expect them to. But we ought not to set our standard up by theirs. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, here's another one. See, in most of the religious world out there, treat tithing like it's an option has led some professing Christians to think and imagine that it is an option. and that tithing is not important. Imagine that. Imagine Christian people who have the plain reading of the Word of God that commands to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that has the illustrated example of Abraham in the days of old, the father of the faithful, who himself gave tithes unto Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. They have all of the guidance of the Bible and the leading of the Spirit. Still imagine that tithing is an option. And they can give a dollar in the box or not. And tithing may be out of the question or not, but it's optional. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, brothers and sisters. We need to be aware of that. Here's another one. Here's another one that how the principle works in this modern age. There's a lot of profane talk goes on nowadays. In fact, rappers have made an industry out of the profane talking. And our kids are out there buying those rap songs and paying good dollars for them to listen to a bunch of black people cuss and profane God and talk about all of the vilest wickednesses that are going on. And pretty soon, our Christian kids are saying, wait, is there really anything wrong with this, using this word or that word or this other word? Is that really wrong? Can't I use this word and it not be cursing or blasphemy? Can I use that word? What's wrong with using those profane words and that filthy language? Can't be wrong. Everybody else is doing it. They're getting by with it. And people laugh at them when they do it. And people buy songs so they can listen to them do it. I'll tell you what's wrong with that. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the Lord tells us to not let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. That corrupt communication means filthy communication. Means that which is gotten profane by worldliness. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that we're to put off all the things that he lists there, and one of those is filthy communication out of our mouth. And that filthy communication is the kind of profanity, the kind of cursing, the kind of filthy mouthedness that we hear all around us today. Young man next door likes to cuss. And he said a couple of words in front of my wife the other day, and she called him down about it. Now, when he's around me, he tries to avoid it a lot. He slips every now and then. We get him when he does. Why? Why bother? Because if we don't stand boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ and pure communication, then we encourage people to just get bolder and bolder with it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There are a lot of examples that we could use to demonstrate that the world can act as a leavening, like this illustration in our text, a leavening agent that acts on believers. And if believers begin to be influenced by these leavening powers of the world, they truly become corrupted by it. And it can creep into all aspects or any aspect of our lives. Well, with all of that downside spoken of, I want to close by mentioning the fact that there's an upside. There's a positive aspect of this principle, and I want us to look at it with the same kinds of illustrations. First of all, if the axiom rings true with the evil that I've just gone through, then it must act likewise in the righteous arena, and it does. Let's see how that works. First of all, when you think of yourself as a child of God, living in this crooked and perverse generation, seeking to witness with your life who Jesus is and what He does for the soul of a man and the life of man, I think that you'll discover that a little bit of influence from God's Word on your heart or the heart of any human that you might speak that Word to can saturate the soul. And for those that are lost, that receive that little bit of God's Word from your own mouth, it'll saturate their soul with new life if God's willing. You know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And it doesn't take but just a little bit of the Word of God for the Holy Spirit to take and use to convert a man's soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and you don't know what words you say that are the Lord's words that will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to save some poor human soul that's on his way to hell. Here's another thing that'll illustrate it. A little bit of faithfulness to be obedient to God in the things that we know. Just a little faithfulness in just the things that we know. And believe me, brothers and sisters, we're all pretty short-sighted in what we know about what we should do for the Lord. But just a little bit of faithfulness in obedience to God and the things that we know can transform our entire lives. It can make something out of us that looks Christ-like, that acts Christ-like, that has a presentation to the world that convinces the world that, hey, this Christ thing, there's got to be something to it. Just a little bit of obedience when the trying time comes. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. How about this one? A little bit of faithfulness to the obedient will of God, or being obedient to the will of God, and a minute effort in that obedience in service to God can in fact permeate your life and permeate the whole environment that you walk in. Just a little bit of effort to serve God out there in the world can slip quietly into the environment that you're in and begin to saturate everything around you with an awareness that God is in that person's life, that God's doing something with them and for them. A little time in prayer. How about that? Just a little time in prayer. Just God and you alone in your personal closet. It can permeate. And that means spread through, brothers and sisters. It can spread through your life and fill your soul with comfort and the presence of God and the assurance from God that comes when you just take a little leaven of prayer and you saturate with it the dough of your life. How about this one? A Sunday. Just a Sunday spent worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ with the church that you're a member of or that you're visiting. Worship with the church. And this one Sunday can be that little leaven that literally covers your whole week. That causes the blessedness of rising spiritual things to happen on Monday through Saturday, until your whole week is totally leavened because just the little Sunday was spent gathering with the saints of God, worshiping together, focusing on that worship as the power of God gives you ability. How about this one? Just one righteous deed done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be the leaven to your soul and to those that you do it in the presence of. It can be that yeast that brings forth the blessedness of the presence of God in somebody's life. The blessedness that will come to someone who knows that you've come there in the name of the Lord and you've done something for them in the name of the Lord. The leaven of good deeds done for the glory of God. Here's one that's a little leavening. Being pure in conduct day by day as you live among the heathen. This purity in conduct in the presence of the world can saturate the environment in which you move. You never know what doing the right thing at the right time and not being turned aside by anybody's opinion or by any force of fears. Doing the right thing when you're out there can permeate, it can saturate the environment all around you. And here's the last one we thought of. Practicing love and compassion for those out of the way and those who are spiritually blind. Love and compassion for those out there that can't possibly know with a spiritual knowledge the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Showing that you care about their eternal souls. Showing that you care about pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You care about leading them to the path of righteousness. You care about the conversion of their souls. This is the little leaven that has the power to leaven the whole lump. You can't take up the leaven and sprinkle it in the bread dough without causing it to rise. And all these things make up the leaven of our spiritual lives. And if we just use the leaven, God will grow us, build us, and bless us. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Yeah, there's a lot of negative leaven that has the potential to do that. And I'm afraid it has done that. In this age that we live in, there's so much that we don't even realize that we've gotten prejudice toward wrongness about. But this one great thing, there's so much of the good leaven there that can sprinkle our lives and that can cause the rising up of the things of God in our lives together and individually. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.